wanted to talk about this. Is everybody here familiar with that documents drop down that Mark Andromeda showed us? I'm going to see if I can share the screen. Yeah. Everybody see documents here? Uh-oh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, good.
Did I drop out? Okay, Alex is giving a thumbs up. Okay, you guys can hear me.
Yes.
All right, I'm on two different browsers here. I wasn't sure if I could stay on one. And okay, so this is the memo from the secretary, and those four items right there. The first three, 1 through 3, are the required reporting that the Barbershop Harmony Society has established. Compliance reports, they're called. The first one is your Secretary of State periodic report. So I believe all of you are legally corporations in your state. And so you would have a periodic report that's in, we're all Colorado, right? No, we're all in Utah. I think the only state in our district that is not annual reporting is Nebraska, which is a biannual or every other year. I guess biannual is incorrect. It's every 2 years they report. So you must complete that report and to maintain your corporate status. And when you do those these three reports, the that and the 990 and the financial review, then those get uploaded onto the member center of the BHS website, and that allows, number one, for me to see that you have completed those three things. BHS sees that you've completed them, but it also is a secure storage place for you to keep those reports. If you ever need them, you know where to find them. So the secretary normally does the periodic report. The treasurer normally does the 990 and the financial review. So they're we're not completing those reports, but we just want to make sure that they get uploaded onto the member center and that we are compliant with BHS. Now, in the Rocky Mountain District, a number of years ago, the a member of the district from the Beehive Statesman actually made a motion that all chapters should be compliant before they receive a BMI CSAC show license, because a show license is a holding a public show is a an element of liability. If we don't have an ASCAP license, for example, and that chapter gets caught, then if there are penalties for that violation, if the chapter doesn't have the resources to pay the penalties, a shrewd lawyer would go to the next step up, and that would be the district. And so what the idea is that we want to protect the district from any chapter that is stepping out of bounds and putting us in liability and putting all the chapters of the district in liability. So that is the requirement, that they all be current. We're current with the IRS, current with the Secretary of State, and that we have completed the financial review. The financial review is simply a means that the Barbershop Harmony Society is able to report all of the financial activity within the society. And so it's very simple. It's just a bottom line review of your checkbook and making sure that everything is accurate and current. But all of those totals of assets and liabilities is computed together for the society to be able to submit its 501c3 as an organization. We are all part of that organization. It's not just what happens in Nashville, it's what happens in all of the whatever 800 or so chapters that exist in the society, as well as what happens in Nashville. So that's why those three are so important. The fourth one, ASCAP, as I noted here, is not a BHS compliance report, and I don't know why. Every chapter is required to file an ASCAP report, even if they do not do public performances. So ASCAP is what legalizes performing in public the music, the copyrighted music that we perform. And so the society has negotiated a an annual fee that it is based upon being under a certain amount. I think it's right around 36,000. I didn't look that up, but it's somewhere right near there of annual revenue for performances. So if your chapter doesn't have that, it doesn't exceed that amount of revenue for its performances, then you would just pay the standard amount that the society has negotiated. If you do exceed that threshold, which it's on the report, you can find it, then you would have to use a table to calculate your amount owed. And it is due at the end of the year. It's not due at the beginning, but you can pay it at any time during the year. BHS says that they would kind of like to receive those around this time of year, actually, anytime from August till November, because that's the least amount of paperwork shuffling that they're doing, obviously having to do with the main international convention and getting all the membership things up to date that happen for people that are competing. They're really busy at that time. So, and then at the beginning of the year, there's a lot of membership that occurs. So if you complete it now, that's a great thing. If you are not sure if you're going to exceed the 36,000, you do have a grace period to make that report after, even after December 31st. Grace period is pretty much a month. So hopefully, if you're waiting to get revenue calculations from the venue that you performed at, if the venue sells the tickets and does all of that calculation, and you need to wait for that report, then obviously you can't calculate your income until they report it to you. So and turn it over to you. So if you need that, you do have that. But it is not a compliance report, but I have seen chapters upload their ASCAP payment onto the BHS Member Center, and there's no harm in doing that, and it's a place to keep it. If you want to keep, stuff for safekeeping, that's a good place to do it. So those are the four things that are required, and this text here below that explains that. I also am involved in, and so all of those, by the way, are reported, like the Secretary of State periodic report goes to the Secretary of State. Obviously, the 990, for most chapters, that's a postcard. Again, if your chapter has enough income that they do have to fill out the, I think it's a 990N, the short form. There's also a long form, but very few chapters have to do that. But that would be a treasurer question. That's not something I'm aware of. And then your financial review, again, that's a simple form that's available right down here. Well, so these are financial review instructions and chapter financial review form, both in a XLS and PDF form. I think that's a fillable PDF, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, you either print it out or you fill it out online. But that all again gets submitted up to the member center. The ASCAP form is in here. That here's a 2024. I'll have to look and see if they have a 2025 yet, and if so, we'll get that up there. So the other thing that I do, again, all of those are paid to ASCAP is paid to BHS, IRS is paid to IRS, Secretary of State, you pay in Colorado now it's $25, and there is no fee for the financial review. The BHS, rather the BMI CSAC form for show clearance, does come to me. It's payable to BHS. It's $60 now per performance, and that form is also, let's see, BMI CSAC report form. So you can just download that form, complete it. I believe that is a fillable PDF. You still need to print it and sign it. And one copy of that form gets sent to me along with the check for whatever amount, however many shows that you're doing. And I send that to BHS. I scan it. After I sign it, I scan it and send you a copy of the digital file. I keep a copy in the RMD files for safekeeping, and you have a copy digital. If you need to print it, you can. If you want to print it, you can. Most of us are going electronic, so I figure let's give it to you in electronic form. So those are the basics. There are, again, let's see, like this. Let's see what happens. Can you the
Tony,
Yes.
quick question. Of these four items, there is a lot of working with the treasurer involved with this. And I was wondering, could you clarify the roles between what the treasurer does versus the secretary?
I mean, normally the treasurer will have his or her address, name and address as the point of contact with the IRS. I mean, I would certainly prefer that to make sure nothing falls through the cracks. So they get the 990 form and return it, and then all they would need to do is they can upload. They have the ability to upload to the member center. President, treasurer, and secretary, and I think possibly membership are officers that have access to your member center page where you can upload those documents. So as a secretary, I would just make sure that it got done.
I see.
And if the treasurer wants to say, here was the 990 I submitted, can you upload it? Then do that. And the treasurer normally would handle the financial review because they're reviewing the treasurer's books. So again, I would presume that the treasurer would get that done and either get it uploaded or get it to you. Does that answer your question?
Not really, but
Well,
I guess what I'm looking for specific duties that the treasurer actually has to perform in each of these four categories, and it may vary by chapter as I'm hearing, but definitely it's to work with the treasurer, and hopefully between the two of us, we figure this out.
yeah. I mean, the ASCAP, normally the secretary would handle it, but there is a check involved. There is a payment involved.
Exactly.
So you could get the check from the treasurer and finish, complete the process and send that into BHS. And the reporting to the Secretary of State is usually just done, silently by the secretary with the state Secretary of State. And completed and uploaded. So the
So,
treasurer
but
isn't involved. I mean, I guess there's a check involved. Actually, most in Colorado, they prefer to have it paid by a credit card. And so in my case, I mean, for the district, I pay with my credit card and I submit a for reimbursement from the district treasurer.
The other thing that I guess is of interest to me is dates by which all these things occur. And maybe you're going to cover that, but that was the other thing that I didn't, you know, I was
Okay.
thinking about.
The well, again, the ASCAP one is due by the end of the year unless you have a reason to delay, but financial reason to delay. The oh, and I didn't mention that, you know, if a chapter doesn't perform, they do have to submit the form with a balance due of zero. They just say we owe nothing because we don't perform. And okay. The Secretary of State is different for every chapter. The anniversary date of when the chapter incorporated is when that is due. And you will, again, if the Secretary is registered, is the registered agent with the Secretary of State, then that registered agent will receive an email. In Colorado, at least, I can't speak for other states, but in Colorado, I receive an email for the Rocky Mountain District that says that your periodic report is due, and you know, you just click the boxes, and you know, who is the registered agent, what's the address, and all that stuff, and pay the money, and send, you know, I do it by credit card, and then send it in. You get a reply that states that you've complied and completed the form.
Is that by email or actual postal mail?
It's the reply. It's an email.
No, the reminder.
The reminder is an email. Yeah,
okay.
And you can set up additional emails. So if you want to have some fail safe, at least in Colorado, you can have other people receiving the same email, so that if for some reason it goes to your spam folder or something, somebody else will say, you know, did you get this and did you do it, you know? So you do have that option. The financial review is due February 28 is the date that the BHS requests. Obviously, so that they have time to compile all that stuff, and I, you know, probably May 15th is when BHS, when most corporations have to file their tax returns. And again, being a nonprofit, you know, I don't know if BHS has any tax liability, but you know, May 15th is the deadline for corporate returns. And so they would want to have all that information compiled by then. If it's after May 15 and you forgot, it still doesn't hurt to get it sent in. They would appreciate it. There isn't a penalty or anything like that I know of, but it's just being a good BHS citizen to get that done by February 28th. And the, you know, again, the IRS tax return is May 15. So that's an IRS thing. And quite honestly, if you don't get that done by then, you could be in hot water. So as a secretary, it's a good idea to ride herd on the treasurer and make sure it got done. But it is normally the treasurer's job, unless in your chapter you have a different setup, that's up to your chapter. But normally the treasurer is the person who is the point of contact with the IRS in terms of having their name, address, and all that as the filing information. So I put in here, ASCAP is preferably September, but technically December 31. So this is all, again, below there. And also my address to send, like BMI CSAC is really the only thing that needs to get sent to me, but there's where you can send BMI CSAC stuff, and here's my email address that you can communicate with me, or that telephone number. We have the district websites on here as well. So that information is there, and I just want to, you know, mention it too, that I can pull it up if you want to see it, but I have a shorter summary of all of this that goes into the HOD minutes for every HOD meeting. So your chapter president should know this information as well. And if you want to access it other than just going to the district website, you could ask your chapter president for that information, and it's there as well. But at the House of Delegates meeting, at spring convention and fall convention, I present a report, and in that report, I just have a boilerplate that just stays in the minutes that has a summary of this information. So those are the big things that we need to make sure get done. Any other questions that, and does anybody know what time we need to be out of here? I don't want to, I don't even know what time we started. Oh well. Hopefully there'll be a heads up that we need to move back to the main meeting room. But does anyone have questions? I mean, are there questions also about insurance or minutes, keeping minutes or anything like that? But I want to make sure that everybody has this down pat because it's so important. Not hearing any questions. Anybody had any problems with any of these? I guess.
Are we required to post the minutes for the chapter on our website, or
I don't think there's a requirement.
nice to have?
We do
Ours
it, but yeah.
hasn't been updated in quite some time, so I was
Yeah.
curious. I haven't talked to our current secretary yet, and I plan on. And this may be, I don't know if anybody else is new to being a secretary or not, but I plan on. We have ours first second Tuesday every month, and I'm going to try to attend prior to becoming secretary the next meeting to find out
Yeah.
how things run in a meeting. So that's another thing. If you get your, monthly meeting or whatever, you still got a couple to go yet before the end of the year.
Yeah. I mean, website is a good place to post stuff just to have it for safekeeping. Technically, any member is theoretically, and do you meet in person or do you meet online?
They're meeting online now.
Yeah.
Thankfully, I like that, and it's kind of like
Yeah.
this. This is
We
really
do
great.
as well. It's so, such an easier meeting, quite
Yes, it
honestly.
is.
But technically a member should be able to attend the meeting. They're not invited to speak unless the
Right.
president invites them, so but they could listen in and they should be able to access the minutes if they want to see them, either just say, hey, could I see the minutes from last month,
I'm
or
sure I'll find all that out. And of course, there's a reading of the minutes at
yeah.
the beginning. So,
We don't. In my chapter, I've never had anyone. I'm not the chapter secretary. I was the chapter secretary at one time of SOR, but even then, I never had anybody ask me, "Can I see the minutes?" I mean, so I mean, we did post them online, and they were available. Any other questions?
yeah, I think the only problem I've had is occasionally the BMI CSEC license requirements. We do a lot of little shows that we don't receive any payment for, and so we don't fill out any of those. They're just to care facilities or things like that. But occasionally, we'll be at some that someone will, provide us a small amount that's just, I don't know what you'd say to, it's really not fundraising in any way. It's just
Donation.
to cover expenses. How do we, what's the cutoff? Is it any money at all
No,
received
it's,
to do
it
the
doesn't.
license?
Yeah, it's not actually money. It's whether it's a self-produced show or not. So if, yeah, if a retirement center asks you to come sing for them, it's they're producing the show, and so you're not required to do a license for those. It's when you rent a venue and sell tickets, or even if they're free tickets, whatever. I mean, it's whether it's self-produced is the difference. So yeah, so technically, I mean, even technically, those places that hire us should have an ASCAP license. Most of them don't, but that's just, it's a good reason for us to have an ASCAP license to back that up. And I can tell you a quick story that I was on vacation in Colorado here, and at a hot springs, and my wife and I are in this hot springs pool, and another couple come into the pool, and we're chit-chatting, and found out that I sang barbershop, and the guy happened to own a restaurant not very far from where I live, and there was a barbershop quartet came in, and they quietly sang a song, and the people around were very happy to hear that and wanted some more, and so they complied and sang a little louder and sang, performed a little bit for the audience, for the patrons at the restaurant. And somebody pulled out their cell phone and made a video and posted it on, social media, and ASCAP found out about it. I mean, there's bots out there. I don't know how. I'm not a big tech guy, but at any rate, the restaurant got contacted, asked if they had an ASCAP license for having this to cover the performance by this quartet. I mean, he didn't hire them. They walked in and sat down and ordered off the menu. I mean, they were just patrons, and so he explained that to ASCAP. They didn't take no for an answer, and I mean, three different contacts he had by ASCAP, and I mean, I don't know if he had to get a lawyer involved or whatever, but he eventually got out of it. But we could be a nuisance if stuff gets out on the web. So it's just a good idea to have an ASCAP license. That quartet probably sings with a chorus that has an ASCAP license, and that would have been covered had he known who they were and been able to contact them and submit that there was an ASCAP license that covered that performance. But
Well, ASCAP is one thing, but the BMI is a little different.
yes, it
Because
is.
one
Again,
is
that
throughout the year how much you do. BMI is per performance in that sense, and so I could see that if you're looking at that, or singing Valentine's,
It's not
or
required for
something
singing
that
Valentine's.
we perform or.
Yeah.
Something, we're producing that, but someone else is buying the product
Right.
to sing somewhere.
It is specifically stated that singing Valentine's are not required to have a BMI. And again, if it's not self-produced, the show, it's not required to have the BMI. So, I mean, the BMI is just basically collecting the date of the show, the number of seats, the ticket price per seat, the highest ticket price, that information. It's all based on that. So it, if again, if you're hired to sing at a senior center, that's none of that applies. So no BMI is required. Or, somebody's anniversary party or anything else, it's
So what does BMI stand for? Well,
that's a good I
what
think
kind of
that's
entity
in
is it? What, where, who is it? A state entity? Is it a national entity?
let's see if I can find that. Boy. CSAC is Rangers Let's find it.
Is
You
it
know,
like ASCAP? Is it an organization like that, or is it
it's
under
an yes, it
ASCAP?
is an organization like that, correct.
Okay.
Broadcast Music International, I think, is what BMI is. Obviously, having to do the broadcasting, which, you know, I mean, radio stations and whatnot. Society of Entertainers and boy, I'm sorry, I'm
That's
drawing
okay.
blank on that one.
They're like ASCAP, right? These are other
Yeah.
entities that require
Let's see
piece of
if
the action. There
we can.
they are. I see it. There's a BMI CSAC show report form.
It's just the report form. It might have an explanation before the form. Oh, so yeah, it is a PDF fillable. Okay, here. So here's the answers to the raised questions on right below the form.
I can look it up later, but it's just interesting. I didn't know there were other things besides ASCAP. That's good to know.
Yeah. This explains what are performing rights, and there is ASCAP, BMI, and CSAC.
I see. So are these other reports for BMI and CSEC also due at the end of the year, or?
No, these are due
High
when,
performance.
you know, by performance. Yeah, they technically should be submitted before the
The
performance.
show.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your chapter number, chapter name. The show will be held at the venue, capacity of how many seats, highest ticket price, and how many performances. And it's per performance that it's $60 is now the amount. Again, unless you, if it's over 1,500 seats, $75. Over 3,000 seats, it's $105. Over 5,500 seats. Wow. Again, we performed at Coors Field, but more than 5,000 seats, but we were hired to do that. It wasn't a self-produced show, and so you don't get a BMI, but you do want to have an ASCAP license when you go do that. All right, any other? Boy, I sure wish I knew. It's 10:24. I did anybody hear what time we were supposed to return to the main room?
Does anybody
10:40.
know how to return back to the main room? There's a
It
picture.
should be returning at 10:40. Top right has a blue, or at least for me, it says blue leave. So that blue leave should take you to the general thing. If
The leave
it,
room. Okay.
yeah, but, and then that should take you to the general like meeting. But from my past experience, but things might have changed. I'm not sure.
My leave room is bottom right, so. Just FYI, it's different.
Well, I'll tell you what, does anybody have any other questions or anything else that we need to discuss? I mean, we can just head back there and wait, and rather than sit around.
Tony, what was your phone number again?
Mine?
Yes.
303 233 6234. Email is actually better, which you can either go my name, Tony Pernitus at Gmail, or secretary at rmdsing.org. Let's see, that was all. Where was that? Here, that's my address, but where was the. Huh.
I saw it earlier in one of the slides.
Yeah, I saw it too. Did we go? Interestingly, here we have the standard chapter bylaws for you too, as well on the district website, just in case you need those. Membership forms are there, are on, again, this I'm on rmdsing.org. All
One
of you.
thing that I've been asked occasionally is to acquire the statement of insurance
Yes.
for that we have. And so different facilities that we've rented, they want proof of insurance. And so we've gone on to the BHS website and received that. There is within that it we had a group that was we were wanting to get to encourage some high school students or some college students to perform. So we were going to give them an opportunity to perform in in one of our programs that our shows that we were doing. And as we looked at that, they had to have their own insurance also in order to perform with us, it looked like. Do you have any clarification on that?
That is a really good question, and
See, that was when we were producing the show. We were just but the venue, we had to get the insurance for the venue. But if we, it sounded like we were taking on liability for someone that we were bringing in who was not a BHS member.
My understanding, I would think that our insurance would cover guest performers. I mean, it covers.
Well, there was some statement somewhere in there. If you look, important, the certificate holder is an additional insured. The policy must have additional insured provisions or be, let's see, well,
Endorsed,
no,
yeah.
maybe not. May require an,
Yeah,
I
it
don't
may
know.
require an endorsement, which would mean that you would have to pre-name them as a performer.
Anyway, somewhere I noticed something in there about, do you have anyone else? Oh, it was in filling out the form in the beginning. It asks, is there anyone who's not part of this, and not associated with BHS?
Yeah.
And so basically we've said, if we're producing this show, and have to have the insurance liability coverage, we just can't have someone else come in and sing with us, even if we're trying to, encourage some people to eventually participate with us.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're stepping into a gray area that really isn't, totally defined to the best of my knowledge. And that is on the risers. Everyone should be a BHS member,
Right.
to be covered for liability. And there are, again, how do we define, even at a rehearsal, how long can a person be a guest and still be covered by liability insurance? And so it's a good idea to have a chapter policy on what your get limitations of being a guest before you'd be asked to consider joining. If it's 3 visits or 6 visits or a month or 2 months or however you want to define it. So that would be being on the risers, but I'm thinking that to be a one-time guest performer, to stand at the microphone and sing, for, again, if it's a a quartet or a choir or whatever, or even a soloist or whatever, I would think that they would be covered for that one time, just like any other person that's in the auditorium, because this insurance, this liability insurance, does cover if somebody gets hurt, that's in the audience. So you would think that would recover somebody who, that was on the stage. I'm not claiming authority on this answer, but I would presume that. But for a person who has been a perpetual guest and performs, do they have liability insurance? That could be a risk, and so it's definitely a good idea to have a policy on that and to say, you're covered under our insurance as a guest for, what we have established as our guest protocol, but after a, this certain amount of time, we would want to have you make a decision whether or not you want to join the chapter, and if you do, then you are now covered under our liability as well as, other benefits. But if you don't, we are not covered and we're exposed.
Yeah, so I think that was in the request for that certificate of insurance, the form that you fill out for that. I think there's a checkbox there that indicates that you're saying that any guest also has insurance or something like that.
Okay,
So
so yeah, that
I don't
would.
know, might want to look into that just a little bit, but.
All right, I'll make a note to do that. Okay, thanks. Yeah, that would be if you were submitting to Arthur J. Gallagher for a I'm trying to remember what they call it. It's a customized certificate that names
Right.
the venue as beneficiary. And again, so there may be some other questions that you may need to answer on that. On this is the standard one right here, and most venues are. Once they see this, they know that you're covered, and they're happy with that. But if they need to get named as the beneficiary, then you write to Arthur Gallagher. For anybody, Ray has obviously done this, but for Gary and Alex, if they require that, then you on the BHS website you can submit a custom application for a certificate that would name that venue as the beneficiary if they if any damage or liability occurs. And they're quite responsive. I don't know if you're what your experience was, Ray, but I've gotten a response within 3 days easily.
Easily,
Yeah.
they sometimes overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
It's really, they really service us well in
Yeah.
that sense.
Yeah, very glad to hear you had similar. All right, good question. 10:34.
They said 10:40.
It's at 10:40 is when we're due. So again, in any 6 minutes to pop any questions, or we can just drop over
Anybody else new to this secretary job besides me?
there.
Guess not.
Well, thanks for doing it. It really is it has its kind of own reward because you at least get to see that you got stuff done. I mean, in other jobs, it's what would be the word? It's kind of like judging an art form, whether or not what you did was successful or not. But when you succeed in getting all of these forms filed and have everything up to date on the member center, you can say, I did my job and I did it well.
I guess the one thing that I did get from one of the classes I started was that between the president, the treasurer, and the secretary. Those are required for our 501c standing, and that's important to have everything maintained and up to date to maintain that 501c standing.
You're
And
saying
that's it.
have actual officers in those three positions.
Yes. So those three have to be are required as a part of the 501c. And then that also gets you your if you're up on your 501c, then that gets you through BHS, the insurance and everything else that we have. Makes it legal. You
Again,
got to be a
that's
legal
why.
chapter, in other words.
Right. That's why all of those compliance are compliance is so that we are in compliance with the law. The secretary and treasurer can be one person, by the way. But the president cannot hold another office. Right. Well, I'd say let's head over and let's take a look here if there was any in these definitions. Boy, I don't, well, I'm gonna go back up and just make sure we didn't. Who is an insured? Well, didn't answer your question, Ray. Sorry. Or I'm sorry, Gary asked that question. But I'll try to look that up and let me write your guys' names and I'll
Yeah, it was right?
Yes.
Alrighty, I'll try to get an answer to that, and I'll email you guys. All right, well, I'll see you on the other side. We'll get over to the main meeting.
Thank you, Tony.
Yeah, thank you guys for all your work.